It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day.
So we're about 4 minutes away, at least you guys are, from winning a pair of tickets to the Cougs versus Southern. It'll be caller 2 and 3. At 11:05, you each will win a pair of tickets to watch the Cougs take on Southern at TDECU Stadium on Saturday. It'll be at 6. Hopefully, weather doesn't cause a delay like it did over the weekend. And it'll be First Responders Night, celebrating the heroes who keep the community safe. You can come cheer on the Cougs or go cheer on the Cougs and Willie Fritz and bring that noise. Get your tickets at uhcougars.com/tickets or 713-GO-COUGS. Come early. Be loud and wear red. So callers 2 and 3 in about 3 minutes. Sticking with college football. So we talked about Oklahoma State losing to Tulsa yesterday. We talked about it yesterday. They lost on Saturday. And their general manager's coming under a bit of scrutiny because he was seen liking a photo of a pretty blonde woman after the loss, as if one has to do with the other. But people noticed it and go, "Hey, Raj, cut it out. We're losing football games." Or a football game. Don't be liking Instagram photos. Well, that is stretched to random social media accounts now. Like, I don't follow Football Notice at all, but they tweeted out or put out a story on their Instagram or a post featuring the Ole Miss woman. Best way I can describe her, I don't know that she goes to school, but she was rooting on Ole Miss. Oh, and yes. She has the Surrender Cobra.
The interested fan.
Yeah, the attractive blonde woman, interested fan. She does the Surrender Cobra as she was going through it as Ole Miss had the back-and-forth game against Louisville. So a certain individual, don't know who he is, liked the photo. The problem for him is, and anyone else, when you like a photo and your girlfriend follows you, she can see what you like. It'll just come up. If she goes to the, maybe someone pointed it out to her, who knows. But if she sees that same post, she'll see that you liked it. And she did not like that her boyfriend liked the photo. And the boyfriend, subsequently enough, puts it out on Instagram or Twitter because everything about your life has to be public. Like, I don't care enough to argue with you about it, but I wouldn't like a post saying, "Holy F, that man is hot." Because I would think about you seeing it and how you'd feel grossed out. But yeah, she's pretty, but it's disrespectful because I wouldn't do that to you. Watch your likes, guys, because at any point, whether you are the general manager for Oklahoma State and your team scores 10 points against Tulsa, or you're simply the boyfriend of a woman who sees the post, they'll be hell to pay. Maybe just scroll past the photo, save it if you want to go back to it, but don't like it. Instagram provides that for you. You can save it, and then you can go take a look. But if you got interested parties who pay attention to your social media activity, because you are the person who put together their favorite football team, or you're in a committed relationship, keep your likes to yourself. There's a lesson for y'all, and we're getting callers in for the game on Saturday. Cougs versus Cougs versus Southern. There'll be a battle on the field and a battle at halftime with the bands. I think we all know who's going to win both with Southern in town. So glad to give those tickets away. We'll be doing that all week long. So if you didn't win them today on John and Lance or with me, you're going to get a chance a little bit later today with Jeremy and Joe. And we closed up our show yesterday with me talking about, hey, we're done with live and local because John and Lance were off and Jeremy and Joe filled in for them in the morning. And then we went 12-6 with National. Do want to apologize to the guys at Double Covers, DJ BNMA and Sarge. They do a show talking football at 6 p.m. on Monday. So if you guys want to listen to that every week, you can. They go from 6 to 7. So we got a full slate from 7 to 7 on Mondays. That show is relatively new. If you want to hear those guys talk a lot about what's going on in the league, and I'm sure some college gets in there as well, DJ and Sarge from 6 to 7. I want to remind you guys that tomorrow Mike Elko will join John and Lance, so If you want to hear from the Aggies coach, they got a pretty good game coming up against Arizona State and Kenny Dillingham. Listen to him. He'll join us not every week, but he'll be on with John Lance at 8 o'clock tomorrow. So you'll hear the Aggies head coach, who had a conversation with the press about how halftime speeches aren't that big of a deal. Hey, you guys saw us come out and play better. But it wasn't because of the halftime speeches. It's a kind of a flex on your program. Hey, big up my program, not me. And in the same way, you're bigging up me. Because he talked about
I built the program.
All the hard work we put in the winter. That's what helped us win that game against that far outmatched opponent. Okay, sure. But
it's not just that you're better.
Yeah.
If you play long enough, you will just separate.
You'll just wear them down. That's kind of how it goes. No matter how many punches they're capable of throwing, they don't have enough to beat you because you're far better. Even with Western Michigan, they felt like they had done enough.
Yeah,
but one more play, they could not hold up for one more play because the five-star supposed generational quarterback got one more opportunity and threw it up to a giant receiver who they couldn't match physically, and they lost. And Western Michigan lost. So Texas A&M, sure, you built that thing in the winter, but consider who you're playing. You're playing Missouri State. Perhaps if you had just come out with better focus, people would have felt far better about your performance in the first half than the 31 points you put on against a team who is there to get paid and hopefully survive because they got the rest of the season to look forward to.
Did you see the leaked Lane Kiffin?
I heard some of it. Yeah, he's screaming about being up. They're up 31. But did he like? He asked the room a question to set him up, right? Because he was like something along the lines of, "You guys feel good?" They're like, "Yeah." Like, it doesn't matter how you feel. Something like that.
Yeah,
I think that's how that went. Yeah,
I do think it's funny that the only leaked locker room, like halftime speech that I can remember, or two of the like most recent ones I can remember that have been like leaked off someone's phone, not added to a documentary later. It is Georgia versus TCU, Kirby Smart, when they're up 1-0 at halftime in that game. And then this one where they're also up 31-3. Has there ever been a leak? Like, has a staffer ever filmed the floor as they're giving like a halftime speech of like a close game? Or is that just not something? Like I've only ever heard blowout speeches.
That only really comes because it's state sanctioned as part of a recap of the game on the official Instagram or YouTube.
It's, but like something like this one where
you're actually having a coach and stuff.
Yeah, it is, and the video is actually just the video of someone's foot.
Yeah,
you know, like they're just obviously having their phone on, pointing it at the ground to pick up the audio. Same thing with the Kirby thing. I think I've only heard like an audio thing.
Never
like
seen.
There's not even a video.
Yeah, I don't ever remember seeing it leaking when it's a close game.
Yeah, because where it's like, what did Mack Brown say at halftime of the 2005? We'll never know.
Yeah, because
lost the time.
Because if you are playing a close game and you're particularly a player, you're certainly a coach, you shouldn't be doing it. Depending on what type of level of coach you are, you might lose your job. But if you're a player, if you're seen filming while you're in the middle of a tight game, even your teammates will look at you like, what are you doing? So, yeah, it has to be a blowout. It has to be that scenario.
It has to be like, we're smoking these
guys. Whoever is leaking it has to be feeling pretty good, comfortable enough about what's going on to film it. Because you bring it up during the middle of the SMU Florida State game. I'm watching it, and you get shots of Rhett Lashley, the SMU coach, and shots of Mike Norvell, the Florida State coach. And then you'll get random assistants who aren't like, they're not even like running back coaches or the offensive coordinator. They are unnamed staffer.
Yeah, they don't have the headset with the microphone. They just have the earpiece to listen.
And they look, and it's a tight ball game. They all look nervous as hell. I saw one guy nearly biting his nails, like legitimately had his fingers in his mouth as he's watching a play. So when you're in that type of environment, the game is close, and you know you put in all this hard work. Yeah, you're not gonna film it when it's tight. You look like an a-hole. What are you doing? Aren't you locked in? Get locked in.
Yeah, but it makes it funny that it's only like
you're comfortable.
Them going full General Patton.
Yeah, they're going
when they're
nuts.
Already,
everyone's so comfortable about what's going on. You can film the locker room at the half, and the coach is like, rat poison. Our performance is not gonna slip. So we get these type of moments. Yeah,
but I've only heard that version of the halftime speech of like, job's not done yet. We gotta finish these guys. We gotta kill these guys.
When clearly the feeling of the room is the job is done. Yeah, because like, we're filming this.
Yes. But I never actually hear.
Yeah, you never hear the
other. Like anything productive.
No.
Because it's just we're way better than them. Prove it again.
Yeah. It ain't over. One play at a time. Stuff like
yeah.
that.
We're yeah. playing one player 50 because I am going to play the entire roster because we're up so much.
Because look, I appreciate the self-awareness in the middle of the rant where I'm probably not going to play everyone the next 50 play. Some of you are only going to play a very few limited amount of plays the rest of the way. But the rest of you, you know, the wide receiver with number 48 on, you're going to get a couple plays too. speaking of LSU, Sean, you mentioned it during the break. The SEC isn't done with LSU. Despite LSU not rostering the two guys who most of this fight over pro players coming back to college is based off of, the SEC is letting it be known. They're doing the saber rattling, where they're letting everyone know, hey, we got a big stick. We may not use it, but if you keep playing with us, we will very well talk about throwing you out of this conference. So September 10th, the SEC members will have a conversation amongst themselves about seeing if they have the authority to expel LSU from the league. The presidents and chancellors, they're going to meet on Thursday to decide whether they should terminate LSU as a member, according to some bylaws. And states in the suit, the LSU actions confirm the lack of institutional control over the athletic program, over the athletic programs at LSU. So they're taking this to federal court. Or at least they did, and these are things that came out of it today, as they allegedly will have a conversation about kicking LSU out of the league. Now, in Pete Thamel's series of tweets, he mentions that there isn't a real likelihood that they would kick LSU out, but they're discussing it. They're discussing whether that should be on the table and whether they will exercise their right to do that.
It's not even in the series. It's like the next sentence in the tweet with the graphic of breaking news. It is, the SEC is not expected to take such action. It's like, then what are we talking about?
But they just want it to be known that it's in their back pocket if LSU continues to play these games.
Yeah.
I don't suspect that LSU will get kicked out of the league.
Don't make me come back up here again, is what they're saying.
It's simply a deterrent. Hey, guys, you've taken this as far as we'd like you to take it. Just be aware, we have the votes. Don't make us actually vote. This is all this is.
Yeah.
They're going to let LSU know, we got the votes to get rid of you. Don't make us actually take a vote. Because if you do, you're going to have to find your way into, I don't know, the ACC or something. I imagine that's where they would have to go. Maybe because the Big Ten ain't taking LSU. No. Maybe the Big 12. Maybe the Big 12 would. The Big 12 definitely would. Maybe that's where they would go. Maybe they don't want to be associated with the ACC. They'd have to go to the Big 12.
They should do whatever it takes to not get kicked out of the SEC.
Certainly. Don't push it.
They really shouldn't, but if they wanted to for some reason.
Don't push it over Harris and who's the other one? Who's the tight end? Or is that? Don't push it over what would be your backup tight end and a rotational defensive lineman. And when Lane's making jokes, just imagine if we had pros after what they did to Clemson. Yeah, these aren't, even if they are pros, don't push it. Just you're plenty good enough. Clemson will determine how bad they are, but you're going to be a pretty good football team. Perhaps don't push the SEC to a point where they actually decide you got to go.
The funniest result is that like Clemson is just like 3-9 bad.
Yeah.
And LSU's also not that good because like
you're
the
talking
overreaction,
the Texas Notre Dame
week
scenario.
One overreaction of it all of like, oh my god, they have this monster. It's like home game at night against a crappy team.
Anyone who watched that game talks about how ridiculous Clemson looked just with simple stuff. So this is the conversation you have to have. How much of it was LSU greatness? How much of it was Clemson dysfunction? There's a lot of dysfunction. Lane Kiffin mentioned it in a quote that he didn't expect Clemson to be as dysfunctional as they were. You watch people who analyze film. Clemson didn't have any idea about their protection plan. Guys weren't aware of what they should do, and the things they're asked to do were nonsensical. Just because that paw is on the side of that helmet, that orange helmet, doesn't mean what happened is representative of what LSU actually is.
Yeah.
That's the problem with week one. And look, Clemson was unranked, so they weren't highly thought of anyway. But then you get that type of result, you're immediately thinking, well, gosh, LSU's really great. They did what they had to do. You can't take away how impressive it was. But if you're using it in the context of, well, they beat Clemson. That's Clemson. That ain't Clemson.
No.
I don't know what that is. We'll see how the rest of their schedule goes. But that is just a husk of Clemson.
Sammy Watkins and DeAndre Hopkins.
Mike Williams.
Ain't walking through that door.
T. Higgins. Travis Achane is what he's called now.
Dexter Lawrence ain't walking
through that door. Christian Wilkins.
Isn't he ain't doing the splits through that door.
Yeah, even if he can't walk through any NFL door right now, he certainly ain't walking through the Clemson facilities door. Or maybe, as a guest.
Although, eligibility?
Not part of the 2022 class.
Imagine if we had pros.
He was playing for Mike McDaniel at the time. imagine if he had pros. Clemson should say that. You might have kept. Well, not their pros, just any pros. Recent 2022 class of 2022 guys who would still be pros.
Yeah.
Maybe they would have kept it within 20.
That are like 28 in the NFL right now that went to Clemson were still on Clemson. They'd be awesome.
Well, that's a great observation on your part.
That'd be so cool.
Who would be? Trevor would be their quarterback. Now I'm not playing this game. Never mind.
Watson,
you're not gonna. Nope. Nope.
Watson or Trevor.
I mean, the Browns would release him to play.
Yeah, you could get
the Jags wouldn't do that for Trevor, but they would take Trevor Lawrence as their quarterback if they could, as far as active current NFL quarterbacks that they could grab who used to play for their school.
What's CJ Spiller doing?
I think he's calling. I think he's part of Clemson's staff or something.
Really?
I don't know what. That's what Dabo does. He likes to hire guys who are part of the program. It's a family.
Yeah, he is a running back coach, and right? Return special. You know what? I haven't watched him play. Two things he was really good at,
makes
running
sense.
Back and returning.
And if you want to sell Clemson to other running backs, why not have CJ Spiller do it?
Yeah.
But he is 39, so don't think he could help on the field. Hell, he didn't help as a coach, so which is his job now. It's going to be tough. We'll see how many people take joy in Clemson's demise and what they do about it. If they're willing to ante up and pay Dabo $57 million to go away.
Or if Dabo wants to do the right thing.
I love that context put on it by fans. He should really do the right thing.
If he cares for the program so much.
This is the tone that people will use. That
I am
tone,
not the man for the job.
That tone that you used. You know how many guys have actually done that? Like Mark Richt did it as his health,
great man.
As his health was declining. He stepped away from Miami. And, of course, they used that favor to hire Manny Diaz. Yep. Congratulations to them.
Love him on ACC Network.
Yeah, he's still doing the thing. I don't know if he was on last night, but I know he was on.
I think he's
weekend.
In the studio.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he was on over the weekend as the ACC schedule got going in full force. But the likelihood of Dabo just giving back $57 million seems pretty low.
It's the right thing to do, coach.
Well, he seems pretty stubborn in the way he does things. So he.
How much more money do you want, Dabo Sweeney? Come on.
Will all those fan arguments out there and see how much that gets you. Maybe if you say it enough,
you
will actually listen and just give all that money back. It's bad business for both parties.
Yeah,
for them to be involved.
Dabo Sweeney, business-minded.
You don't got to be business-minded to know giving back $57 million is a bad idea.
Not giving back. It's just you just never have it. You're waiving your right to have it. It's not taking money out of your pocket.
I don't want to be in a position to defend Dabo.
That's what I love about this.
But if I'm one of his advisors, what would Clemson be without you?
Mm.
They were stuck in mediocrity until you got there.
Well,
and now they're back, or maybe worse.
Yeah. Well, they were stuck in mediocrity for a couple years while you were
well,
there.
Well, until he was
there. And then.
Well, okay, fine.
And then they got good.
Until you hired Chad Morris and Brent Venables. Now, Dabo, I wouldn't have suggested hiring Chad back. It was good when it was good. And there's a reason Chad Morris hasn't done anything since he was your OC.
Yeah.
Perhaps go out. I know you went with Lincoln, the other brother. Didn't work out for you, Lincoln. No, you went with Garrett Riley.
Garrett Riley.
You went with the other brother. That didn't work out. Then you went with a familiar face. But no matter what they say about you, keep your $57 million if it comes down to that. Because you know what? Everyone will forget about it in 5 years when they come back to honor you. They'll hate you for holding them to the fire because of the money they owe you, but they'll just forget.
Yeah.
They will.
What about instead of $57 million, statue, name on the stadium?
That he should say, I expect that anyway. You can't bribe me with that. You're giving me that anyway. What are you talking about? I'm the greatest coach in Clemson history. And I want my $57 million. You know, maybe change the name of the stadium?
Oh, no, yeah, yeah. For and like then, $5 million.
Yeah, you know my, you know, no. my son that I put on the roster as a receiver and holder?
Yeah, what do you?
name the field after him. Then we'll have a conversation.
Well, you know. It's either him or Trevor Lawrence. Unfortunately, the other quarterback, yeah, we really can't name things.
Yeah, it's Taj Boyd. There's some other guy we don't talk about.
Predicted.
And then there's Trevor Lawrence. Those are the great Clemson quarterbacks of recent history.
Kelly Bryant.
Well, yeah. He would get mentioned. Like, even we talk, of course, we're joking about Dabo, but and they'll forget about him holding them hostage if he wants to keep his $57 million. Like, USC never honored OJA. They kind of, hey, that was bad news. Hell, they had to disassociate with you with Reggie Bush for a while until that got changed. Will Clemson ever bring Deshaun back?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll happen, right? Yeah. That's got to happen.
They might bring him back for the 2016 team
anniversary
reunion. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be this year?
That would be this year.
Are they having?
That's why I said might, because
he
might be busy.
Not playing for the Browns or playing poorly?
Being asked to leave.
It would be funny, because a lot of those guys aren't in the league because, first of all, it's been a long time
10
ago.
Years in the league would be a long
and time. Some of those guys weren't NFL caliber. If they planned it on the day they knew he had a game, or weekend they knew he had a game.
They have a Thursday night game. They're doing it that day for some reason.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Or either way, like, make sure he's starting still so he can't get away. And then schedule that honorary acknowledgement of the 10-year team, 10-year anniversary team. From 2016 on a day where he's got to play the Steelers. He can't make it back. Scheduling conflict. Dang it. You know what would make Clemson games more fun for you? Besides joking about them, if you've been a longtime hater like myself, use Fliff. Download that app right now and make the football season even more exciting. Look, I know we're all excited. We got a NFL game tomorrow. And if you want to enjoy that Seahawks-Patriots game the way you should, go to Fliff. Download the app and then make picks on the biggest matchups, including that game and the rest of the games for the weekend, and also those player performances. You can play for free every day with those free Fliff coins and your bonus daily dollar. Every touchdown, interception, and big play becomes more exciting with Fliff. And why not make football even better because you got something riding on every drive. So whether it's your favorite team or that random Wednesday night football game, Fliff is the place to be to add a little bit of spice to that to the football games you're watching. So you can be rooting hard, but you'd be rooting even harder if you are Fliffing. New players can receive up to $250 extra bonus Fliff cash, and you can download Fliff and use promo code DELSHOW. That's D-E-L show, D-E-L show, and that gets you started. Play for free every day with free Fliff coins, or purchase Fliff coins and receive extra bonus Fliff cash on your purchase every day. You can download Fliff now, Fliff around, and find out. Must be 18 plus, no purchase necessary, void where prohibited, and restrictions apply. See terms of use for eligibility at getfliff.com and full promotion rules, Fliff Incorporated.
This is ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
So, because their season doesn't really start until October, the Rockets have taken a backseat to what's going on. The Astros in a division chase, and we've got football going, Texans, Bills on Sunday. But the biggest news recently is Amen Thompson. They gave him this money. We talked a little bit about it last week. And the question is, how does he go from amongst multiple untradeable guys to the only untouchable guy for the Rockets as far as their young players are concerned? Well, over the last couple of years, the Rockets have just simply watched him play and seen his value increase. And they have a real high evaluation of him compared to others. And you're going to hear that kind of laid out plainly by, I believe it's the Coops Collective. You'll hear the voices of Tim McMahon and others talk about how the Rockets view Amen and how his value is up there with the best players in the world.
The Rockets, I think it's great business. And I've been telling you for a while just how much the Rockets value Amen Thompson.
No question.
I mean, like, if there's one untradeable player on the roster, it is him. According to their metrics, they think he's one of the top 10, and I might be inflating that number, most valuable players in the league. Now, we can argue and we can debate, and you can say that's ridiculous. I'm just telling you the way that they view him. And so for them to get a player they value that much on this deal is that is great value for them. And, for Amen Thompson, look, dude, $208 million fully guaranteed, and there's no options either way in the deal. He's set for life. He wants to be in Houston. He's going to be in Houston. He's going to be rich. His bloodline will be rich for generations. So I absolutely can see why he was like, hey, great, let's get it done.
That's the Hoops Collective. Tim McMahon, the more prominent voice. You heard Brian Windhorst chime in on the value of Amen Thompson. So let's say the Rockets are right and he has top 10 value. That has to do with certainly the player's talents, his age, and the contract that he has signed. Would he be the only one in this top 10 in your mind that you would question his ability to knock down an open jumper? This is not me going after Amen. I'm just trying to think about how all his other talents have surpassed that clear deficiency in his game that he can still be considered a top 10 player. Even look, if we're saying the Rockets are right, I don't know that any other top 10 player has that hole in his game.
What are the Pistons numbers telling him about Jalen Duren? What's the?
Well, they've been fighting him on a contract all offseason.
Okay, so probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not him. Yeah. I mean, this is just like, oh, yeah, there's the teams tells you that they have a guy on their team that they value as a top 10 by some metric. All right, cool. Like, I grew up in the, like, every 2 months I hear Daryl Morey say that James Harden's the best player to ever shoot a basketball. All right? Like, he's more efficient than Michael Jordan.
He called him either the most efficient offensive player ever or the best offensive player ever, something along those lines.
Yeah, and he would do it, like, all the time.
Yeah, he wanted it to be known.
Yeah, so, like, the gas up of your own guy, like, yeah.
It's Rockets coded.
Yeah, this is, like, not insane because I have to imagine they're incorporating, like, contract in there, too, where it's, like, dollar per
age
or whatever.
All those things.
Yeah, so it's like, they're not actually saying he's a 10 best player in the league. They're
10 best value.
10 best value. Which, like, maybe.
But even if you go with the young players in the league who are getting these $200 million contracts, would you value Amen? Could we get to 10 before we got to Amen? Now, I think a lot has to do with the Rockets talk about their guy, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he's a valuable player. But you watch that value diminish in the playoffs when there's just a clear hole in this game that when a defense decides to focus on it because it's playoff basketball.
Yeah, I mean,
it becomes such a black hole for the team.
Not really, though. Like,
he scores. I'm not questioning his ability to score.
He looks better than Şengün in the playoffs.
Well, I'm not saying he's not the second best player on the team. he's the best young player on the team. I said that before the playoffs. And we have Durant as the best player on the team, But in moments where a team decides we're just going to let him shoot, you can see how that can stagnate a possession. Now, Amen does so many other things that make him a guy who has to stay on the floor.
19-7-6 in last year's playoff. Yeah. Two steals.
But the Rockets as a whole, and it wasn't all to do with him, they just weren't that.
Yeah.
They just weren't a team that, especially that had good offense.
For, what, 5 of the 6 games they didn't have Kevin Durant?
Yeah.
Like, it just.
They were at a disadvantage. Of course, the context is the Lakers didn't have a couple of their guys too, but as far as how the Rockets do things, they're not a very aesthetically pleasing offense in general.
And when then, it's bad, it's
and then Kevin Durant's not out there. Wow, did they break 80 in game 6?
I don't
think they broke 80.
The fact we don't know for sure is that it was that kind of series though, where it's like they could if they couldn't get over like 90 points, it's just you're like
they scored 78 in game 6. And to be clear, not all on Amen, but there are ways to disrupt the entire Rockets offense. Yeah. And you got Kevin Durant bailing you out because he's a great player and he can knock down a contested jumper.
It's also more of like, do I trust Ime Udoka to scheme an offense around your best young player that has this deficiency?
I think you know the answer.
Like, I don't
it's a question we have the answer to.
I don't think I trust him to scheme an offense. And that's it. That's the end of the sentence.
We're done.
I don't think I really trust him to scheme any off it. Like, unless you give him perfect offensive players, he might not even play them because he wants to play Josh Okogie, who plays defense, get some rebounds.
Yeah, if you get a perfect offensive player who he's afraid is going to get blown by or miss an assignment, you
sit
can
next to me.
Sit right next to Royal Ivy. Not even next to Ime. Ime is like, don't sit next to me.
Yeah, you just scowl at him.
You don't want to sit next to me right now. Keep Royale between me and you.
That to me is the biggest thing with the Rockets, like taking maybe not like the next step of like winning a playoff series, but like the ultimate, like the step you really want to take, which is like, can you be like Minnesota good, where you can talk yourself into like winning a series against OKC and the Spurs, like not being like, well, you know, Victor Wembanyama could get out of bed and roll his ankle. Like actually
you believe.
And to me, it's like, it's the Ime Udoka piece of like, can he maximize this roster? Cause it really,
you're trying to Mark Jackson him, aren't you?
I'm not trying to.
You're thinking about it though.
Yeah, I want to see if he, which way will you go? Will you go the Mark Jackson route? Will you go, I don't know, who's the guy who figured it out? Mike Brown, I guess.
Eventually,
you got fired 4 times in between.
Yeah, eventually won one with the Knicks. So two teams from now, Ime will get it done.
Yeah,
a lot of help to the Rockets.
Yeah, he's already on team 2. That helps.
I said,
two teams. Okay,
a lot of help that is for the Rockets if he figures it out. A couple teams from now.
Did he have 2 stints with Cleveland?
I think they brought him back.
I might be imagining that.
It feels like he's always a Cleveland Cavalier coach.
Yeah. It's like that.
He's only had the one.
Okay.
Nope. You're right. Two times. Really? Cleveland Cavs coach.
Is that? Yeah. That was pre-LeBron. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So I would hope that he doesn't go the Mike Brown route and figures it out when J.J. Redick gets fired and he joins the Lakers.
I just can't find the coach that figured it out.
With the same team?
Yeah, without getting fired.
Frequent playoff failures, and then you eventually get over the hump.
Yeah, not even failure. It's just like had this like obvious, like this is what he does not do well.
And then well, people assume if he hired a more offensive-minded staffer, just go get yourself an offensive coordinator that understands NBA offenses and can build one around your talents, that would help. But
they
didn't hear about any major changes on the staff, or not even a change, just an addition. They hired a shooting coach.
Yeah, they got the shooting coach, which
that might help, certainly. You would hope so. Maybe
literally cannot hurt.
Maybe Amen Thompson's jumper becomes more refined because you hired one of the best shooting coaches in the game.
And then, you know, the whatever limits to your offense get a little bit, ease it up a little bit, and you can, but.
We can only hope.
Yeah. He might be our Thibodeau. Wow.
Jeez.
I want to call him Thibodeau, not Mike Brown, also. I want to rebrand it.
You want to call Ime Thibodeau?
Yeah.
Oh,
Thibodeau's like a good coach. Like, he is like.
Mike Brown just won a title.
Yeah, no, I'm saying that for I don't want him to be the Mark Jackson.
Oh,
I want,
okay,
I want
gotcha,
the Mark Jackson
gotcha,
to be
gotcha,
the
gotcha,
Tom Thibodeau.
Gotcha. And Mark Jackson never made the finals.
He never coached again.
And he never made the finals like Emei did.
Yeah.
It was the 1 year in Boston. But
that
he,
is
didn't,
true.
He did make
that
the finals.
True.
Yeah. I mean, those
and like he's won 50 games like the last 2 years. Like there is like an element.
Now
of-
I called him Mark Jackson and put it on you, so you didn't call him that.
Yeah.
So I hope he isn't simply the guy to you
the
know,
guy
manage
the
guy. This team into a spot where the guy comes in and then they take off. I hope he's the one who can do it. Got to win a playoff series first.
Yeah.
Even Mark Jackson did that.
He did. He very much did.
So let's hope with some health, which always is in question, and more continuity, that this is the year that we go into a playoff series and win one. It's been a long time since the bubble. I can't go 3 years in a row losing the first round. I mean, it's possible.
Yeah.
But that it should not be the case.
That to me is worse than since the bubble because it's like, yeah, in 21, 22.
You weren't trying.
Yeah, whatever. But it's like this team is like trying. They've had – no, I guess they didn't have home court last time. But it was a 4-5 series.
Yeah.
They had home court the year before. It's like, yeah, you got to do this. Come on.
Getting beat by diminished teams in both. Now, of course, caveat, no Kevin Durant. But the Warriors series,
yeah,
that was a tough – look, and
that's gonna be the last series they ever win.
That's because Jalen. that's because Jalen played. He wasn't the only reason, but he played really poorly. And Sean's talking about the Warriors with Steph Curry.
The last time they're ever
the last time
series.
Steph Curry wins a playoff series is, of course, beating the Rockets. Why wouldn't it be? You know what? That's how it has to be.
I guess
it's really how it has to be.
I wanted them to improve so that the Rockets could maybe play him in the playoffs.
Yeah, you bring it up. I do think that might be Steph Curry's final playoff series win, and it just comes at the expense of the Rockets because why wouldn't it? But that's not our problem that the Warriors have sunk to the levels they've sunk to. The Rockets are a tier above, but they got to prove that. And that'll start in October, late October. We got plenty to get to before that on this show and also as far as the calendar is concerned. But before we go to break, Sean's going to tell you about Prize Picks.
Yes, Prize Picks. Number one daily fantasy sports in America. And you have a lot of time, as we said, to do your homework before basketball season starts. Not that much time before pro football kicks off. You got a little bit more than 24 hours before things get started. And that means you only have a little bit more than 24 hours to get in on a guaranteed pick. The first guaranteed pick of the NFL season, Sam Darnold throw for more than half a yard against the Patriots. Now, the Patriots did re-sign Christian Gonzalez, so it got a little bit – it's going to get harder for Sam Darnold, but I still think he gets more than half a yard on Wednesday against the Patriots. You can also take a little look at, what's going on in baseball with – Astros underway tonight against Philadelphia. Do you think Hayden Wesneski is going to keep things rolling for the Astros, or not for the Astros, for himself personally, and give the Astros a shot to get back on the right side of things? Or do you think it's going to be a long night and you think that Kyle Schwarber and the rest of the Phillies are going to knock them around all night long? Well, whatever your insight is, it's probably right because you listen to us, two experts on the air every day. So you can make some money on Prize Picks. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $150 in lineups when you win your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES to get $150 in lineups when you win your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. Run your game.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Oh, I was just reminded. Since Rich wasn't on yesterday, correct? Was he on?
I think they ran best of.
We get to hear Rich defend Michigan's win. Must see, or at least must listen radio. See what Rich Eisen has to say about the nonsense that went on in Ann Arbor as a Michigan honk and grad. Coming up.
He's a grad.
Yeah.
I don't know about honk.
Oh, come on now. What are you talking about? What are you saying?
I'm trying to defend my guy.
Everybody. Right? Your guy. He's not his actual producer. You produce it for us.
My guy.
You produce it for us with, to get it on the air here. But everyone's a honk for their team. It's not even more an insult. It's just more a statement of fact. Who's not a honk for their favorite college team? It be what it be. You may
think of
you
Florida
may put
State
a,
guys that aren't a honk.
Well, it's difficult now. When you're going good.
Danny Cannell is still somehow a honk.
Yeah. Even he played for the school, so there's a bit of respect I'll give him. You put on the uniform, I get supporting the school. But everyone, unless you just want the coach fired, which a lot of Florida State people do, you're going to – and even then, inside, when you're talking amongst each other, get Norvell out of here. But let a Florida fan talk a little reckless.
Yeah.
Then you become the honk that you were born to be. It's just how it be. I don't know what Pena wants to discuss. Maybe he's a honk, maybe he isn't. What's up, Pena?
Yo, what up, Dale? I didn't get to listen to you yesterday, and I just tuned in to you today. I've been pretty busy. I just wanted to get your take on how do you like the Longhorns defense with Will Muschamp? How do you like them this weekend? I know they went against Texas State, but do you see anything better from last year? And how do you like Jadarian Price tomorrow for 51.5 yards, over under on that? Thank you. Have a great day.
So Texas, under a different DC, handled Jeremiah Smith well. He certainly had his worst game of his freshman season against them. And then in year two, to open up the season, they had a good plan. Now Will Muschamp is the new DC there, or new old, however you want to describe it. Second stint, I believe, for Texas. Texas is talented, man. As always, it's very simple. Not saying something nuts. How do they affect the quarterback? They've got good secondary play, so they won't be overwhelmed by Ohio State's receivers. Ohio State does have a good unit led by Jeremiah Smith. But is Colin Simmons going to – he's already considered a top five type pick. Can he elevate to a point where people are discussing, hey, maybe we should really think about this guy's number one pick overall? Can he be that – can he put on that type of performance and be the best player on the field? If he does that, then I like Texas's chances. He has that type of talent to go wreck a game. Ohio State's offensive line wasn't great last year. You saw them against top competition. Didn't really handle Texas all that great last year. And then later in the year against Miami, Reuben Bain and Mesidor got after those guys. They have had, I don't think they brought in a transfer guy, at least not one this offseason. It's guys who have been a part of their program for several years now. Don't think they're a great unit. They are helped by how much coverage you have to play against their wide receivers. I think that's a matchup that Texas has to win. I think they can put it on that Ohio State O-line. If they do that, particularly if Colin Simmons is the main culprit, I like Texas.
Yeah. The front seven is what's going to have to win the game on Saturday, I think. Or at least win that matchup, that side of the ball. Because the DBs, they have a lot of talent. They have guys that have played, but there are like two or three guys out there that are a little inexperienced. So I think it will. And the front is just the strength of the team. And in these kind of matchups, it really is like how good is your good? Like how the best part of your team? Like how good can they be? I think that's what it's gonna come down to on defense.
Yeah, if Texas shows that they cannot be blocked by Ohio State, it changes everything. Yeah. Ohio State
either
has
or putting Saiyan under pressure.
If they believe they can protect Saiyan, you'll see multiple deep shots to Jeremiah Smith, and that can be a problem. And then it opens up the intermediate passing game to Ennis and others. Yeah. I think what McCune is the receiver's name, I think, who came over from UTSA. So pretty simple. And, you know, Will Muschamp will be fiery. I saw him out there doing his thing after the fumble return for a touchdown. He was excited. But this is a Colin Simmons game for me. Does he show that all that top five stuff is real? And if he's the guy you're talking about after the game, I think they win this game. Even with my my questions about Arch and how long he holds the football. And they've got pass rushers on the other side, too. So you got the big name in Colin Simmons, and you also have Kenyatta Jackson Jr. on the other side for Ohio State. It's just this Do you think Colin Simmons is built like a guy who should go top five? Keonta Jackson at least has the physique for that as well. He was Jeremiah Smith's teammate in high school. So they joined up again at a...
That was probably a good high school team.
Yeah.
Probably.
C.J. Bailey on the team, the quarterback at NC State.
That's probably a really good team. Jeremiah, was this like an IMG?
No, it was a...
This is a real high
Chaminade
school?
Madonna. It was a prep school.
Okay.
But not an IMG type. But they had a former Miami receiver who transferred to NC State. Of course, Jeremiah Smith. And as I mentioned, Kenyatta Jackson. So they were loaded, pretty loaded. And all the, and some of those guys wound up at NC State, Ohio State. Miami got a guy who eventually, as I said, wound up at NC State. So Kenyatta Jackson Jr. looks like the type of guy who could be a top five pick. Production's been okay for him. Texas is going to have to deal with him. He had 6.5 sacks last year. Didn't have a lot of production in his first couple seasons there. So this is a money year for him, too. So he'll try to make a name for himself. But Colin Simmons should be the star if Texas is going to win. I don't expect a lot of points, honestly.
Yeah, like last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, although, yeah.
I just think those defenses yeah. will lock them down. And it'll be – and knowing, or at least watching Ryan Day, when there's a real defense – things kind of get a little tight.
Yeah, in big games, he is like a let's just run the ball, yeah, get out of here.
Hell, and play to our defense, yeah, which has always been pretty good under him.
Yeah, he's like somehow, I guess since C.J. Stroud, he just like does not trust any quarterback. He's just like, you guys are going to lose those.
Yeah,
for
don't.
So
we're not going to let you try.
Yeah, yeah. Also, a lot of people might not know this. Offensive coordinator for Ohio State, Arthur Smith.
I did see him on the sideline.
Yeah,
as I was watching
Will
that game.
Muschamp on one side.
Yeah,
it's gonna be interesting. And then who's their? They still have their DC from last year, which was really good. Patriots pencil.
Patricia.
Matt Patricia.
A lot of pro connections on that staff, and Muschamp certainly spent time as an NFL DC as well.
Atlanta Falcons offensive coordinator Steve Sarkisian.
Yes, that's true.
In 2017.
That is true.
The year after they made the Super Bowl.
Well, Kyle had to go. He had to go coach the 49ers. Not exactly great. Look, Kyle, we talked about earlier, blame him or not for the Super Bowl collapse. Dan Quinn just skated by somehow. But
it's just not equal.
Yeah.
The amount of flack thing.
Oh, yeah, it's ridiculous, honestly. And Shanahan Sarkisian comes in with Matt Ryan, and he didn't match it.
No.
And so I would attribute some of that to a hangover, maybe the biggest Super Bowl hangover ever.
Oh, yeah, for the Falcons.
Yeah, for the Falcons. That's tough to try to regroup after something like that. As far as your Jadarian Price thing. I actually remember it this time. Kenneth Walker ran for a lot of yards against that Patriots defense in the Super Bowl. But that's a different season. I forgot what number he said. Did he say like 51?
Yeah, it was like 51 and a half, something like that.
Take the over. Is he the... Hold on. Before
he
I just give that to
one.
You.
He should be the number
he's
one.
He's got to be, right?
No Charbonnet. I think... Is it Helwani? Probably not Helwani. I think it's Helwani. Helwani is the UFC guy.
Ariel. I think this is Helwani, the running back. I would say
George Holani.
I would say go over. And if not, you know the show. Don't come to me for unders and overs. It's not my vibe. But you should know that by now. But thanks for the call, Pena. We appreciate it. And he called in about the big game of the at least the early year. There'll be more that will get that moniker
of game
biggest,
of the century.
Biggest game of the year.
Game of the century. Saturday
when
night.
When it's 5-1, it can't be the game of the century. It's got to at least be 1-2.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what the voters have to say.
That's true. Will Texas rise up to 2?
They
after
should do it.
Beating like, after beating Texas State,
like shady, like a shading fighting promotion. Just if the number one team is playing, just bump them up.
Here's
a couple
the thing:
spots.
They don't need to. It's Texas. The brand and the top five ranking in Arch is good enough. Yeah. You don't need to give any extra juice to their ranking. That's fine. We're all excited about it either way.
Just get a couple more people to flip on ABC tomorrow or Saturday night.
I feel like it's unnecessary. I think I don't know what's competing against it, but I think it'll get the biggest rating of that time.
I just don't want people to not know that the game's happening, you know? Just be unaware.
Huh. You think the ranking will inform people?
Yeah. Oh, there's a game. One versus two.
Oh, I guess I got to watch it.
What schools are these? Huh. And they play football.
Isn't that
in
that,
between classes?
That little school in Austin plays football?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll talk more about the college football weekend as it approaches, and certainly the NFL weekend with the Texans and the Bills coming up on Sunday. Some news. Pena called about the Patriots. They do get their cornerback paid. Christian Gonzalez, who was asking the questions openly about whether he would get a deal, he gets a deal. Richest deal for a cornerback in NFL history. So holding in or holding out works. And he will be available tomorrow night against the Seahawks. Since we're done for the day, Sean, what's it going to be?
Big hits all day.
Just cover three and big hits. That's what we found out.
Let's not scheme them up all day. Yeah, it's big hits all day.
That's true. Matt Burke, fight the fight. They're trying to pin you as simple. At least your scheme is simple.
No, yeah.
Yeah, to be clear, your scheme is simple. You got to fight that, man. You can't get a head coaching job if everybody thinks you just win because of your athletes. That only works in college. We'll talk to you tomorrow.